Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to singing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
The passage we'll consider this evening is found in Luke chapter 14 and verses 12 to 14. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Then he, Jesus, also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Jesus spoke these words to his host at the same dinner at the house of a Pharisee, after he gave the parable of how a righteous man ought to take the lowly seat at a wedding feast and wait to be exalted to a higher place of honor. So this passage is additional teaching to the same parable. The teaching of Luke 14, verses 7 to 11, that parable and the lessons to be learned, that was for those that were invited to that dinner. But verses 12 to 14 of Luke 14, those lessons were for the host of that dinner. And so Jesus' words to his host were a lesson on what true generosity is. The Pharisee may have thought he was being very generous in putting on an elaborate dinner for his fellow Pharisees and other notable individuals of Jewish society. Jesus told his host that he shouldn't just invite others that are able to repay him by inviting him to one of their elaborate feasts. That's not true generosity. It's not generosity that will be rewarded by God in eternity. That kind of reciprocation of honor and generosity is just mere socializing that has no real eternal value. True generosity that has eternal reward is generosity that is given without an expectation of something in return. Jesus told the Pharisee that he should invite the poor, the disabled, and misfortunate of society, who needed his generosity the most, but had no means to reciprocate. Such generosity will be rewarded by God at the resurrection. This kind of generosity is only possible if the hope of the resurrection is real in a person's heart. People who fear the Lord live today with eternity in mind. All that they do is done with eternity in mind. People who lack faith, they live for this life and for what they can get for themselves today. Let's read in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4, Jesus' words concerning the attitude behind charitable giving. In Matthew 6, and verses 1 to 4, Matthew chapter 6, and verses 1 to 4, we read these words, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly." Also in 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Apostle Paul teaches us that we should look to the eternal heavenly reward rather than reward in this life for our service and our sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Like Jesus' teaching on pride and humility that we considered in our other lesson, his teaching on generosity is not new. Let's take some time to consider the Bible's teaching on generosity from the book of Proverbs as well as from the New Testament. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 24 to 26. Proverbs 11, 24. "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it." I like the comment from the Bible Knowledge Commentary that reads like this. These verses encourage generosity. By giving freely, a person has plenty, a seeming paradox. Conversely, a person who is miserly, failing to help others in obvious need, will himself always be in need. By being generous, a person prospers and is in turn helped. Grain in a farming society was a major medium of exchange. Hoarding it could drastically affect prices. But a person who sold his grain and did not hoard it was a blessing to others. I like the comment on that proverb and on what true generosity is and the results of generosity and the results of being stingy with what God has given you. The Apostle Paul also encourages generous giving for the good of others rather than a selfish hoarding of one's resources. Paul teaches us this truth as well. Paul also gives us the balance. God doesn't expect us to make ourselves poor by giving, but nor is he pleased when we do not share with the abundance that he has given. Paul gives us this teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 8 to 15. 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 8 to 15. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. "I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered a little had no lack. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 to 15, Paul continues his thought on giving. 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 5 to 15. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his undescribable gift. When we as God's people give generously for the sake of others and for the glory of God, not only are our needs met and the needs of others, but there is spiritual and eternal fruit and wealth that is produced for our good and the good of God's people and for God's glory. And so the giving of our material wealth actually produces spiritual and eternal wealth, both for us and for others. In Proverbs 13 and verse 22, we continue to look at the Bible's teaching on what true generosity looks like. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. This proverb tells us that the previous proverb and teaching of Paul about not hoarding and about being generous to give to others, that teaching is not a prohibition against wise savings for the future. There's a difference between hoarding and prudent saving. A good, righteous man who fears the Lord is often blessed with an abundance that can be enjoyed as an inheritance even by his grandchildren. In the economy of Israel, that meant that the land and his possessions stayed in the family from one generation to the next, as a blessing from God. That was God's will and God's purpose for the Jews in the land of Palestine. In contrast, the wealth of those who despised the will of God was often lost, squandered, and plundered by others as a judgment of God for their wickedness. Proverbs 14 and verse 21, Proverbs 14 and verse 21 tells us a source of God's blessing in our attitude toward the poor. Proverbs 14 verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins, But he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. It is clear that it is sin for us to hate and to shun the poor just because they are poor. Now, we are to hate sin and we are to shun association with those who choose sin. That's true. But poverty itself is not sin. Today, there's much teaching that says that if you have faith, you will be rich and prosperous in natural things. So that prosperity teaching is basically teaching that poverty is sin and lack of faith and disobedience, but that's not true. Poverty itself is not sin. Pride causes us to think that we are better than others because we have more than others. But just because we have more than someone else doesn't mean that we deserved it any more than they did. Our blessings come from God. They are by His grace and His mercy, and we are to share them with others as He leads us to do so. Proverbs 19 and verse 17 is yet another proverb on generosity and our attitude toward money, toward the poor, towards God's blessing. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will pay back what he has given. One paraphrase to that verse goes like this. Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full. Also in Proverbs 21 and verse 16, we'll read a couple of more Proverbs here before we comment on that. Proverbs 21 and verse 16, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Proverbs 22 and verse 9, Proverbs 22 and verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. The reason that giving to the poor is like giving to God is because God has committed himself to be the advocate and the provider of the poor. Now, God is not the advocate of those whose poverty is self-inflicted because of their own foolishness, but he is the advocate of those like widows and others who have poverty forced upon them. The only reason that we would have anything to give to God by giving to the poor is because God has graciously given to us an undeserved abundance. If we fail to share God's abundance with others, the abundance that He has given us by His grace, we may find ourselves in want with no one to help. This is what these Proverbs are telling us. If we don't learn to help others, there may come a time when we need help, and it won't be there. Proverbs 25 and verse 14, yet another proverb that teaches us some important lessons. Proverbs 25 and verse 14, whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. This is what the Pharisee was doing when he gave an invitation to the rich and the influential of society to come and partake of his abundant preparation of a feast. But it was a false boast of generosity because he knew that those very same people could and most likely would invite him to their next feast. Now, there's nothing wrong with entertaining friends and family. Such entertainment is simply mutually beneficial fellowship and is a blessing of God. Nothing wrong with it. However, that is not generosity that will be rewarded by God. That's simply a blessing of God that we can enjoy today in this life. Fellowship with one another. Sadly, there are those who boast of generosity like the Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house, but their boasts are empty lies. They are clouds that promise rain and never deliver. When we learn to trust God to supply everything we need when we need it, and when we learn to be led of the Holy Spirit in all that we do, including in helping others and sharing the abundance that God has given us, we will find it easy to be generous with the abundance that God has given us. May we live for the coming of the Lord and know whatever sacrifice we make now in this life to do the will of God, that sacrifice will be rewarded with eternal glory in the resurrection. May we not look to be rewarded in this life, but may we look to the reward that is coming in the resurrection of the righteous and the just. May we look to the eternal reward that will be given when Jesus returns.
silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to. Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway.